Praised be Jesus and Mary. All you members of the Third Order very well know that today we celebrate Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. She was born in 1207, daughter of the King of Hungary, Andrew, the King of Hungary. As a young girl, she was given in marriage to Louis, the Landgrave of Thuringia. With him, she had three children. She was assiduous in meditating on the things of heaven, and after her husband's death, which occurred when she was only 20 years old, at the age of 20, she was already a widow, she embraced a life of poverty. She entered the Third Order of St. Francis. She spent her life in poverty, penance, prayer, and serving the poor and the needy, seeing Christ in them. She even erected a hospital in which she served the sick herself. She persevered in these good works until her death, which occurred in Marburg in the year 1231, at the age of 24. And she is one of the most illustrious members of the Third Order and also its patroness of the Third Order of St. Francis. Some 132 years ago, Leo XIII, in an encyclical on the seraphic father St. Francis, talked also about the Third Order of St. Francis, and we'll take his words as our meditation today on the Third Order of St. Francis. We celebrate its patroness, so we'll look at the Third Order as it was taught and as it was recommended by the Holy Father Leo XIII, and not only him, many pontiffs, but his words are particularly encouraging, so we'll look at them. So this is from the encyclical Auspicato Concessum, September 17th, 1882, but it's just as valid today as ever. The Holy Father first remarks that multitudes during the life of St. Francis were flocking to him all the time, begging him to be able to embrace his form of life. They knew they couldn't leave the world, they had duties in the world, families, jobs, etc. They couldn't leave the world, but they wanted to live the gospel in its integrity in the world. They begged St. Francis, teach us how to live your charism in our way of life, in our secular way of life. The Holy Father then says, such were the reasons for which this saint determined to institute the Brotherhood of the Third Order, which was to admit all ranks, all ages, both sexes, and yet in no way necessitate the rupture of family or social ties. For its rules consist only in obedience to God and His Holy Church, to avoid factions and quarrels, and in no way to defraud our neighbor, quite the contrary, to serve him, to see Christ in him, to take up arms only for the defense of religion or of one's country, to be moderate in food and in clothing, to shun luxury and to abstain from the dangerous seductions of dances and plays. It is easy to understand, Leo XIII goes on, easy to understand what immense advantages must have flowed from an institution of this kind, a salutary in itself as it was admirably adapted to the times. In fact, from the lowest ranks to the highest, there prevailed an enthusiasm and a generous and eager ardor to be affiliated to this Franciscan order. Amongst others, King Louis IX of France, Saint Elizabeth of Hungary sought this honor, both saints, and in the course of centuries, several sovereign pontiffs, after Leo XIII, also St. Pius X, and many others after him as well, cardinals, bishops, kings, princes, have not deemed the Franciscan badges derogatory to their dignity. The associates of the Third Order displayed always as much courage as piety in the defense of Catholic religion, and if their virtues were objects of hatred of the wicked, they never lacked the approbation of the good and wise, which is the greatest and only desirable good. Only the greatest and only desirable honor. It's a parenthesis here. If their virtues were objects of hatred of the wicked, St. Elizabeth of Hungary, when her husband died, she didn't have his protection anymore. He encouraged her in her good works, in her works of piety, and in her life of holiness. When he died, and she was left to the mercy of the wicked and the impious, she too was persecuted, chased with her three little children, chased out of the castle in which she lived, and left out on the street to beg. But what did she desire? The approbation, not of men, not of wicked men, but of the good, the wise, God himself, which is the only and true desirable honor. More than this, our predecessor, Gregory IX, publicly praised their faith and courage, that of the Franciscan tertiaries, nor did he hesitate to shelter them with his authority and to call them, as a mark of honor, soldiers of Christ, new Maccabees, and deservedly so, for the public welfare, found a powerful safeguard in that body of men who, guided by the virtues and rules of their founder, applied themselves to revive Christian morality as far as lay in their power and to restore it to its ancient place of honor in the state. The Holy Father then goes on to say that domestic peace, incorrupt morality, gentleness of behavior, the legitimate use and preservation of private wealth against communism, civilization and social stability spring as from a root from the Franciscan Third Order. And it is in great measure to St. Francis that Europe, and then America, and then the whole world owes their preservation. For these reasons, it has been long and specially our desire that everyone should, to the utmost of his power, aim at imitating St. Francis of Assisi. Therefore, as hitherto we have always bestowed special care upon the Third Order of St. Francis, so now, being called by the supreme mercy of God to the office of sovereign pontiff, since thereby we can most opportunely do the same, we exhort Christian men not to refuse to enroll themselves in the sacred army of Jesus Christ. Many are those who everywhere of both sexes have already begun to walk in the footsteps of the Seraphic Father with courage and alacrity, whose zeal we praise and especially commend, so that, venerable brethren, he speaks to the bishops here, to encourage them, to encourage their faithful to become Franciscan tertiaries, so that, venerable brethren, we desire that by your endeavors, especially, it may be increased and extended to many. And the special point which we commend is that those who have adopted the insignia of penance shall look to the image of its most holy founder and strive to imitate him, without which the good that they would expect would be futile. Therefore, take pains that the people may become acquainted with the Third Order and truly esteem it. Provide that those who have the cure of souls, pastors, preachers, priests, those who have the cure of souls sedulously teach what it is, how easily anyone may enter it, with what great privileges tending to salvation it abounds, what advantages public and private it promises. May God grant that Christian people may rend towards the discipline of the Third Order with the same alacrity and the same numbers as formerly from all parts they drew themselves and threw themselves into the arms of St. Francis himself with a holy emulation. So far the words of Leo XIII, encouraging all faithful not to shun the sacred army, not to refuse to make themselves soldiers of Christ for the good of their souls, for the good of the church, for the good of society. St. Maximilian Kolbe, some years later in 1933, in the same line of thinking, said when he was writing to young seminarians of his order, of his Franciscan order, wrote to them, "I have been in many countries, I have seen many things, I have spoken with different people, but believe me, there's no better way to counter the evils of our times than our seraphic order, the first, the second, and the third order, for men, women, and the laity." There's no better way, believe me. If with courage, readiness, rapidity, and constancy, it will evolve the spirit of our seraphic father, St. Francis. In fact, the spirit of St. Francis does evolve, as the Holy Father says. It adapts itself to all times. There will never come a time when the order of St. Francis will outlive its usefulness. No, it evolves, not in the sense of Hegel, not in the sense of Darwin, but in the Marian sense. Our Lady is becoming more and more conspicuous, more and more prominent. Her role is becoming more and more underlined, more and more evident in the Franciscan order, more and more explicit, as St. Maximilian always pointed out. We see this at Lourdes. Our Lady said, "Penance, penance, penance." She said the same thing in Fatima, "The world needs penance today." And the order of St. Francis is precisely that, the order of penitence, the order of penance. So on one hand, it is truly a mystery of predilection, why Our Lady chooses the Franciscan order to be her instrument. On the other hand, it is logical. If she wants us to do penance, well, rightly so, she uses the order of penitence. So we, with Pope Leo XIII, we make his words ours. He says, "Let preachers, let pastors encourage souls, teach them what the Franciscan Third Order is, its benefits are, etc." So we make his words ours. We exhort Christian men not to refuse to enroll themselves in the sacred army of Jesus Christ We need to fight for the faith today, to become his soldiers, new Maccabees, restoring to Christianity its due place in society, and through the Immaculate, for the greatest possible glory of God, and for the salvation of all souls. Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, patroness of the Third Order, pray for us.